The Apostles' Creed.
Here we have the first phrase, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, it seems a very straightforward opening to this creed, but it is possibly one of the most disputed in the whole of Christian doctrine. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and this bit, maker of heaven and earth. You know, and in 1859, Charles Darwin published his book on the origin of species. Now, sad to say, I have an idea that book was published here in Letchworth. So that's not a very good thing to have in history, is it? But he got it totally wrong, obviously. And the book was in direct confrontation to the title of our thoughts for today. Now, the subtitle of the book is The Preservation of the Favoured Races. Now, I remember reading an article about a young lady in a lecture by Professor Dawkins, who is a big advocate of evolution. She asked him if he knew what the subtitle of Darwin's book was. He had no idea. But that, to me, that subtitle sums the whole thing up. Preservation of the favored races. He had no idea. The Greeks had many theories as to how the world came to be. You know, sort of some stone came down from heaven and landed on earth and became, I think, one of the gods they worshipped, and they had loads of gods. And they had very theories about the world came to be. But when Paul was in Athens, he preached to the crowd at what they call the Areopagus, that's the right way to say it, which was an area where the Greeks met together to discuss various items. They were big debaters. They loved to have an argument, you know, a debate. It sounds like the House of Commons, really, doesn't it? But anyway, that was where they had their... But he stood up in that place, and he made this statement, which I think is a very fundamental statement about what we're thinking about today. He says, from one man, he made all the nations of the earth. Now, I'm sorry to say, folks, that because of that, in some way or other, you are all related to me. I'm sorry, I can't change that. But that's true, isn't it? We're all related. From one man, he made all the nations, not the races. There's only one race. That's the human race. There's no place in the Christian church for racism, because we are one flesh with God, with each other. We are the same. We're all related to each other. No matter whether we're black, white, pink, green, whatever, Chinese, Indian, South African, whatever, we are all related. And we're all related to each other. But that's what the Bible says, that we are all one flesh. Now, let's pretend I'm a bit like that guy Musk, what his name is, a multimillionaire. And I buy my own aeroplane, learn to fly it, and decide I'm going to circumnavigate the earth. I'm flying along over the Kalahari Desert, and it crash lands. I survive and get out. Now, who would I like to meet? A professor of evolution? Perhaps even Charles Darwin, who would tell me I would need to evolve before I could escape? Or an African bushman, who would A, show me what is safe to eat, B, show me how to find safe water to drink, and thirdly, C, lead me to safety so I can return home. Now, this is the undeveloped man who's ignorant and knows nothing, but his environment he knows all about. And so he can help me where I couldn't help myself. You know, we've been very blessed by God with all we have. But that doesn't make us special. That doesn't mean we're better than anyone else. We just had better chances than anyone else. Now, let's take that first statement. I believe in God. There are many gods in the world. The Pope recently said, apparently, all religions lead to God. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. Allah won't help you. Buddha won't help you. The many gods around the earth won't help you. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can lead us to God. And that's what he said. And it's important to know who the God we worship is, because he is the one true God. Our text goes on to explain. The Father Almighty. Father speaks of him being the head and originator of all life. Now, I think people are still trying to work out how life came to be on the earth. We've heard loads of different things, you know, some spark from some outer space sort of comes to earth and bang, there. But life can only produced by life. No inanimate object can be alive. It's just not possible. It's physically and scientifically impossible. So why do people believe it? They don't want to believe what the Bible says. They don't want to believe what God says. And that's the message we want to take out, that God is the originator of everything, the maker of heaven and earth, and all that's in it, all the stars in the sky. We're putting, I like that phrase, you know, that he made the stars also. It's like an afterthought when God was creating the world. Oh, we better have a few stars, you know, a bit like it was doing the decorating. But he's the originator of everything. All things go back to him. Father speaks of him being the head and originator of all life. Almighty speaks of him being all powerful. So there's two things here. He is the originator of all life, and he is all powerful. Someone we need to be in awe of and not treat, you know, sort of lightly or flippantly. He is Almighty and the Father. So we need, first of all, that's the first point I want to make, we need to be in awe of God, because he is amazing. And what he's done is amazing. I can't think of any father at all who would have done for us what God has done. You hear of fathers who disown their children because they've gone off the rails or they've done something they don't like. But God, he knew what would happen and he got a plan for it. And the plan involved sending his own son into the world to take our place as the condemned one. He stood in the dock, not me. And when sentence was pronounced, it was pronounced on him, not me. It should have been me. I'm the sinner. I should have been the guilty one, but no, he pleaded guilty and took upon himself my sin. I don't know why, apart from the fact that he loves us, that he does. He does love us. And he's saved us. I've covered maker of heaven and earth, but I'll say a few more things about it. Because that phrase has some very important implications, especially in the time we're living. As I said, we're bombarded with all sorts of ideas of how the world began, but it's God who is the creator. The other thing that we're being bombarded with, oh, and by the way, I've got a couple of books to recommend, if you like. This is Wonders of Creation. Amazing book. I think it was written by my friend in Leeds. No, wrong book. But anyway, this is a book which shows that every living creature is designed amazingly to suit the environment in which they are. It deals with interstellar space. It deals with all sorts of things. The dust that breathes life. Animals that see with their ears. Things of that nature. I can recommend that book, Wonders of Creation. There's also a number of books by the guy who was the professor of thermodynamics at Leeds University. He actually came to open our cafe, remember? And he's written several books on creation. I think the sad thing is that whenever he spoke, it had to include the words, this author does not sort of express the views of Leeds University. They wanted to distance themselves from him. But he was the professor of thermodynamics. He knew more about it than any of the others. And in fact, he was a Christian and believed in what God has said. You know, he was streets away from everyone else. They didn't want him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. The other thing that we're being bombarded with, particularly today, is this contentious issue of transgender. It's all out there, isn't it? Jesus said, when the discussion with the Pharisees, I think it was actually about divorce, but he said this, have you not read, harking back, of course, the Old Testament, which they would know very well, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them, what, male and female? And that question was raised in a Question Time program on BBC. I didn't see the actual program, but I saw the snippet afterwards. And Professor Winston stated quite clearly, it is impossible for male to become female or vice versa. It's absolutely impossible. It can't happen. If you're male, every sort of cell in your body shouts out that you're male. If you're a beautiful female like we've got here, every cell in their body shouts out that they're female. And you can't change that because that's what God has done. That's what God made in the beginning. He made them male and female. And I'm not saying that this is a greater sin than any other. All sin is an abomination to God. There are no degrees of sin. There are no little sins which don't matter and big sins which do matter. They're all sin in God's eye. I think it's the prophet Haggai says, God is so holy, he cannot even look upon sin. Even the slightest speck of sin is sin. And just as bad as the biggest sins that people, you see all these famous people, is it Al Fayed now, who's coming out that he was an abuser? And it all comes out. But that sin is no bigger than any of the sins I commit or we've committed in the past. The little lie, the little white lie, as we call them. There's no such thing as white lies. They're all lies. And in God's sight, they're an abomination. But we can't compromise on any of these things. And the amazing thing is God dealt with that. Why would he? Why would a holy God, who cannot even look upon evil, decide that he would turn his back on his own son on the cross just to save me? I think it was C.T. Studd, wasn't it, who said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice I can make is too great. It isn't. It pales into insignificance. When he put his own son on the cross and Jesus took my sin on that cross and died in my place. No wonder the centurion who had the job of organizing that crucifixion of the two thieves and Jesus said, surely this was the Son of God. He could see it. The Pharisees couldn't. The scribes couldn't, but he did. He saw what Jesus was doing on the cross, paying for his sin. So we can't compromise on this. This is the message that God wants put out, that sin will be punished. It's either punished for you and I by Jesus on the cross, or it will be punished when we die with an eternity of torment. Now, I can't really get my head around that. And a lot of people have tried, and a lot of people say, oh, well, God wouldn't do that, would he? But I'm afraid God has said, yes, he would do that, because he is holy and righteous. He is the Holy One, the creator of heaven and earth. And we can't compromise on these things. We have to put the message out. Yes, sin will be punished. But if we come repenting of our sin, asking Jesus to save us, he will take our sin on himself. And he has paid the penalty for you and I. It's as if we're in a court and we're charged with a heinous crime, which is going to be a heavy fine. And we can't pay the fine. There's no way we got the amount of money or the resources. If we sell everything we've got, we won't pay the fine. And somebody comes along and says, oh, don't worry, I'll pay it. I'll pay that fine. And they pay the fine for you, and you're free to go. Now, what would you think about that person? You'd think he was the best friend you ever had, wouldn't you? Jesus has paid a greater thing than even the most hideous crime that we can commit. He's paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a stain, a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Friends, we have a great God, a great Savior, and he's done all this for us. So, when we say the Apostles' Creed, do we really know what we affirm? I hope that in some small way, I've perhaps helped to clarify that a bit this morning. We have a great God. I believe in God, maker of heaven and earth, and everything that's in it. We have a great God. Let us pray.